The issues that matter most, right here. The Drew Mariani Show.
On Relevant Radio.
Maria is the principal visionary to receive messages as Our Lady continues to appear to her frequently under the title Reconciler of Nations and Peoples.
The time has come for man to awaken in these times of great calamities in the world. The apparition of my mother is a call to all human beings in order to reconcile all nations.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Well, you know, today's such a great day, as we've been talking about throughout the afternoon here at Relevant Radio. And of course, I had the great privilege of being on the air, of anchoring along with Father Rocky, what was such a historic and significantly grace-filled moment for the world, for Russia and for the world, for devotees of Fatima. And as I've been sharing, you know, throughout the day, I've shared in the past too, this is a significant day on a lot of different levels. Today we celebrate the solemnity of the Annunciation, right? The solemnity of the Annunciation of the Mother of God. It's today, you know, also that we remember in a special way the great feast of St. Dismas, the saint who stole heaven. He's the saint who hung on the cross. It's also the day that some patristic fathers believe that perhaps could have been Calvary, the day that Christ died. What an appropriate bookend, right? Annunciation and maybe Calvary. It's also a day in which St. Faustina received an apparition of the Mother of God. But you know what it is too? And I always found this so providential. When I was years ago, before I got into talk radio, and I was working on a documentary, I was over in Africa. And I was filming, by the grace of God, I was present for the very last appearance of the Mother of God in the jungles of Africa. Little place called Kibeho, Rwanda. And I was wet behind the ears, out of college, young filmmaker, didn't know what the heck I really was doing. But God had a plan. And he sent me to this location. And I was able to capture on film it was the last apparition of the Blessed Mother in Africa, in famed and approved apparitions. It was here in Kibeho, Rwanda, that the Virgin Mary warned of a bloody future for Rwanda. She warned of horrors that were about to unfold. And of course, we know what happened when the president's plane got shot down in 94. A civil war broke out, and ultimately, one of the worst genocides that we saw and exodus up to what we're seeing in Ukraine took place there. So when I was done filming, I noticed that there was a Mariologist who was writing a book on apparitions there. And I thought I'd grab a quick interview with him. It was by Providence. He was from France. His name was Father René Laurentin. And he was the world's renowned foremost expert on Marian apparitions. So I had the privilege of sitting down with him. My film crew set up and we did this interview. And during one of the breaks or towards the end of the interview, Father Laurentin said to me, he says, "You're working on a film on just this apparition, or are you doing?" I said, no, this is part of a film on Marian apparitions. I'm traveling around the planet documenting what's going on. He says, "Then you must go to Maria Esperanza." I'm like, "Who's Maria Esperanza?" He goes, "Her name's Maria Esperanza Medrano de Bianchini. She hails from Venezuela." I knew nothing about this woman. And as I began to do my research, I found that this woman had extraordinary gifts. She was a hidden soul. Maybe God chose me to go to Venezuela, because ultimately I would not only include her in the film, but I would go ahead and make a second film on her life called Betania, Land of Grace, and it would be translated into multiple languages. And then ultimately a book was written. Michael Brown and I co-authored a book on her life. And Maria, soon her name was spread throughout the world. Why? She was like a female Padre Pio. I mean, she had unbelievable gifts. She could bilocate. That's the ability to be in two locations at once. I encountered that experience. She could read souls. When I first walked into her, I knew nothing. Again, I was a young kid. I was in my 20s. And she looked at me and said, "I've been waiting for you." And I was thinking, oh, what is going on here? You know, this is weird, right? But then all of a sudden, she started to tell me about my girlfriend at the time. Right, she began to tell me about my father and how he liked to gamble and to drink. She told, and I'm thinking, how does this lady know this stuff? She told me things nobody could tell me. And it was almost spooky, but at the same time, it was incredibly humbling. I realized this was a woman with one foot in the temporal and one in the next world. Competent eyewitnesses have seen her in levitation. She was so respected by her local episcopate, she was allowed to receive communion on her, or to have communion in her home in her private chapel. She prophesied things of the future. She warned about China years ago. She had great concern about what was going to happen on 9/11 in the World Trade Towers. She warned the U.S. that we should not have gone into Iraq. And this is all way ahead of these events unfolding. She is perhaps one of the greatest mystics of the 20th century. She and Padre Pio. In fact, the day that Pio died, it's said that he appeared to her. And the next day is when she got her first stigmata. She would bear the wounds of Christ. They would manifest on Holy Week. She'd get these horrible contusions on her hand, and then they'd erupt in a bloody profusion on Good Friday, the day of our Lord's passion and death. She had other phenomena surrounding her. I spoke to competent eyewitnesses, bishops. I've spoken to doctors who have studied her, both her psychology, as her mental state, as well as her giftedness. She became the godmother of one of the children, that I have. It was funny because my wife and I, we had a boy, and then we had a boy, and then we had a boy, right? And then that's year one, year two, year three, year four. My wife's pregnant again, and we just thought she was going to be a boy mom. So my wife travels with me. She traveled with me. We went down to Batania. I was done my film, and I went down. I was working on the book, and my wife came, and she looked at my wife, and she said, "Congratulations." And I said, "For what, Maria? You're having a baby," she says. And she used the female, Bambina, for baby, and or Nina. And next thing you know, true to her prophecy, we had a girl. And we had wanted her to be the godmother of one of our our children. You know, I can go on and on. I mean, these are the gifts she had, right? She was able to lead. The greatest fruit of Maria Esperanza was really her family. And the fruit of it, and the graces that flowed from it. She had a charism of love. In a few minutes, I'm going to be speaking to the vice postulator for the cause of Maria Esperanza. She's a servant of God. If you've been to Batania and you want to join us, we'd love to hear your stories. There, a well has sprung up as well, like Lourdes, where many miracles have taken place. I had a healing in one of my eyes. There was a doctor who had cancer that was miraculously cured. And it was at this site. Now, I'll back up just a moment. 1976, March 25th, 1976. Right? You see how that date 25 keeps coming up? The Virgin appears in Batania. It had been prophesied. She had gone to Italy where she met her future husband. Padre Pio was her spiritual director. And the Virgin came to her telling her to look for this land, you know, and there, you know, she would visit her. And true to the prophecy, Maria, when her husband, you know, when they got married, they eventually moved back to Venezuela. She finds this piece of land, and they went there to celebrate on March 25th, 1976, and the Virgin began appearing to her there. So every year people would go back to celebrate the anniversary of those apparitions. It was on March 25th, 1984, that the Virgin Mary appeared seven times. Not once, but seven times. And if you were there, if you were present, you would have seen the Blessed Mother that day. 105 people that day saw the Virgin. She would appear. And she'd manifest before them. As I interviewed these people, as I spoke to them, she said when the vision ended, she'd almost disappear, turning into mist or like dust. She almost looked like a statue in some vision. She appeared under different titles: Our Lady of Lourdes, Our Lady of Fatima, Medjugorje, the Queen of Peace. I mean, all these different titles Our Lady had manifested under. And there was a general in the army there that day, and there were doctors, and there were lay people, and the bishop did his due diligence. He studied them, and during his Ad Lima visit to the Pope, he presented all of his findings to him. There was also a Eucharistic miracle there. I'm jumping all over the place, but there were so many things that have happened at this site. On March 25th, 1984, the same day that John Paul II consecrates the world to the Immaculate Heart, okay, same day, the Virgin appears again to all these people, and she comes under the title, which I think is prophetic, and maybe it was even prescient. Maybe it was even meant for our time. She came under the title, Our Lady, Reconciler of Peoples and Nations. And it raised the question for me when I was down there in the early 90s, what does that mean? Why does she come under that title, Reconciler of Peoples and Nations? Does war loom in humanity's future? Will we somehow need to turn to her under that particular title? Again, Esperanza, who comes from an approved apparition site, she had said some things. She prophesied Hurricane Andrew. She had talked about a whole lot of other things. But she also expressed concern over what she called a big, big war. A nuclear incident. Maybe it was Fukushima. Maybe it would be a nuclear exchange. I don't know. She alluded to Asia, particularly China, as a troubled spot. She said yellow races will stand up, and she mentioned that something was in the air. She warned as regards to Russia. She says to maintain caution despite its pretense of benevolence. This is Esperanza. This is back in the 90s. God has called her home since. I think her prophecies are meant for today. She saw earthquakes in various places, and she said America will also suffer from major seismic activity. In 1994, a couple years after she had this particular warning, we had the Northridge, California, struck the pornography capital of the world, right? And we've seen strange parts of our own nation rattle and quake since she had prophesied that. Are there more to come? I don't know. She was anything but pessimistic, though. And I'll leave you on that note because I do take a short break here and we'll come back and speak to the vice postulator about her extraordinary life. She saw what she saw coming, she said, was a good test. And she saw it as making us better people. She says this is a crucial time, that this is a decisive time for humanity. And I do believe her. She was always hopeful. She never feared. She always told us to turn to God, to return to God, to pray, to turn to the loving and tender embrace of the Blessed Mother. You know, there's a great book out called The Bridge to Heaven. It chronicles her life. I mean, we could go through her extraordinary life. I'm only scratching the surface of this extraordinary, extraordinary woman and the gifts that she possessed. But when I come back, we'll talk with Father Tim Byerly. He's the vice postulator for her cause. Her cause is now open. And I'll say this to you before I pause. Why not call upon her intercession, right? I believe quite often these saints intercede in a powerful way before the throne of God. Maybe you're having problems in your family. She'd be the perfect one to go to. There's great stories of her bilocating and saving even people in critical situations, you know, critical moments. Maybe pray for the healing you're seeking. Betania is known for the incredible healings. Maybe pray for the church. Ask her to intercede that, you know, we'll no longer have 3/4 of the population of the church not believe in the true presence, but there'll be a revitalization. There's so much to talk about, so much to share. I think she is one of the great modern-day saints. Not canonized yet. She's not even beatified yet. But I think it might be your miracle that takes place that could elevate her to the altars. When I come back, we'll speak to Father Tim. You're more than welcome to join us, too. Feel free to dial in, share your story, your experiences, ask your questions. It's 888-914-9149. Back with more right after this.
Your life connected.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
Good, come on. Hey. Are you rocking with us? I see you. Come on, Tennis. Let me hear you.
That's how he works.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Oh, yeah. It's amazing how he works, huh? What a great day today. Today, Pope Francis consecrates Russia, consecrates Ukraine and the world to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. On this day, March 25th in the year of our Lord, 2022, was also on this day of our Lord in the year 1976. Virgin appeared to Maria Speranza in Betania, and again, of course, a series of apparitions that became public, and it was the March 25th, 1984 apparitions that were approved by the church, And of course, it was on that day 105 people witnessed the Virgin Mary visibly. Unique apparitions, very reminds me a lot of Zaytun and some apparitions in Hershov where the Virgin appeared to the masses, or Zaytun. But Maria Speranza is a very unique individual, and I've invited to join us today the author of a book. In fact, if you want to learn about her, and I'm sure you do, let me get you plugged into a book. The book is called Maria Speranza and the Grace of Betania. Maria Speranza and the Grace of Betania. It's written by Father Tim Byerly. He's the vice postulator for her cause, and he joins us today. I threw so much mud on the wall. He's going to sort it out and explain everything and take your calls as well. Father, good to have you here with me today. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Drew. Great to be with you.
Always a delight spending time. And today is a day that you and I both share. You had a deep love for Maria and a deep friendship with her, as did I. And I think of her always on this day and those apparitions of this day. Of course, a lot going on in the spiritual realm today with the consecration. Of course, this is 38 years since John Paul II consecrated the world to the Immaculate Heart. And again, 38 years from those famous apparitions that took place with Our Lady Reconciler of Peoples and Nations. Father, I'm going to give you the ball here. I'm going to hand it off to you. You take us away. I didn't spend a whole lot of time on Maria Speranza. Maybe bring us back. Explain who she is, what her story was, and the significance of this day and where her cause is. And it's a lot, so take it any way you want.
Well, this was a historic day. I mean, extraordinarily historic day for the church. We have to acknowledge that this could be a major turning point for all of humanity. Amen. We expect it will be, because it has, the fulfillment of the request at Fatima and promised with that, of course, is this Earth of peace, which we're all longing for. But to tie it in with with Maria Speranza and Our Lady Reconciler of All Peoples and Nations is critical, because even the prayer that Pope Francis uttered today is so it was a beautiful prayer.
Yes.
Of consecration. There were themes that resonate with what Our Lady brought to us and encouraged us in Betania under the title Reconciler of All Peoples and Nations. For example, the Pope said today, we've broken the heart of the Heavenly Father who desires us to be brothers and sisters. We grew indifferent to everyone and everything except ourselves, so that these divisions, have emerged in the human mm-hmm. family that are just so painful. I mean, we're divided along every line, whether it's political, economic, social, religious. There is this tremendous division in humanity, and that is, of course, one of the sources of war. But the greatest of these of the breakdowns of the human society is the nuclear family. And that was something that Maria Speranza really focused on. And the Holy Father, touched upon some themes also in his actual exhortation, Queen of the Rosary, make us realize the need to pray, Queen of the human family, show people the path of fraternity. That was the message of Our Lady Reconciled to All Peoples and Nations. Was the message of Maria Speranza, when she traveled all over the world after those apparitions occurred, invited to come to conferences and churches and every other location. People wanted to hear from the woman who was the emissary of the Blessed Mother. And then the Holy Father concludes in the final paragraph of today's prayer with, restore among us the harmony that comes from God. Help us foster the growth of communion, that is, the unity of the human family. Exactly the themes that Maria Speranza proclaimed in all of her visitations, all of her missionary work around the world. But it comes down to something very, very fundamental. And our Holy Father alluded to it today when he said, this is not a magical formula. Our Lady in Fatima and Betania and all the other apparitions, she begged for the family rosary, Drew, and still, we'd have to say that there are millions of families in America that have not. We've got to lift up this consecration to Our Lady through our prayer. And the daily family rosary has not yet been taken up by millions of American Catholics and probably hundreds of millions across the globe. You know that the average Catholic or the average American watches 5 hours of TV a day. And we say we don't ever have time for the rosary. Maybe now, though. Maybe now. with things hanging in the balance, people are going to take up the rosary. There seems to be some strange resistances to that, but Maria Esperanza said that is what is going to heal the family, and once the families are healed, society will be healed. So we are standing here at a moment that is it is historic, it is tremendous, it is so hopeful, and it is our Lady, yeah, who is guiding us through it all.
No doubt about it. I know that her story is probably new, father to a lot of people. Of course, Maria Esperanza had incredible gifts. I think the greatest gift was the charisms of joy and just her family. What a blessing they were. She has been strongly supported by bishops, by different hierarchy, and you know, there's been competent eyewitnesses, physicians, and different psychiatrists, and you name it, who will validate her authenticity. Her cause is now underway, and I really do want to invite people to turn to her. But she also had, you know, a prescient gift. She had the ability to warn about certain future events. As I was sharing before you came on, she, you know, prophesied the birth of my child and a whole lot of other things that had taken place. But in light of what we're seeing with Russia, you know, Our Lady in Fatima asked for prayers for that. She came to the seers and asked them that. I know Maria Esperanza had warned about China, about Russia, that we need to continue to pray for them. What did she say about those things? And again, I guess it goes back to your point that it's the rosary that's the solution that will disengage any nefarious intentions.
Well, Maria Esperanza said that, you know, it was possible that a war could erupt in Eastern Europe, which of course is where the Ukraine is, and it could spread into Western Europe, down into Africa. There would be conflagrations along the Pacific Rim, which would be the hardest hit. And that's where, of course, that's where North Korea is. That's where China is. Yep. And, you know, that things would get troubled in the Middle East. And she said that this was very, very serious, and that it could, and this is the point,
right.
It could be averted through prayer and sacrifice.
Yes.
That's why the exhortation of the daily family rosary is the one thing that matters today. Nothing else is important. Nothing is more important than that. Let's put it that way. Nothing is more important than that. So we got to turn the TV off for 20 minutes, and we've got to pray that rosary every day as a family. And when we unite, you say, well, what does my family rosary really get? How's it going to cure things in the world? You unite that with millions of families praying the rosary every day. And that's what's going to turn it around. So the consecration that the Holy Father made today needs to have wings, as it were, through the people of God rising up. You know, we are responsible. Yeah. We have responsibilities here.
That's well said. My guest today is the Vice Postulator for the cause of Maria Esperanza. Her cause, she's a servant of God right now. I'm correct on that, right, Father? She's a servant of God?
Yes, she's a servant of God, and her beatification cause is moving very nicely. It's caught a new wind down in Caracas, which is really proper because, you know, she was a Venezuelan.
Amen.
But you're asking a little bit too about her, Maria Esperanza, in particular today because of the feast day that's so critical, in which she was the center of those major apparitions in Batania in Venezuela. You touched on it beautifully, that Maria Esperanza had, you know, as all the saints do, she had this very, very loving personality. Like when you came into her presence, you felt affirmed just by standing there. And you could be a miserable person, and you felt affirmed. And so many lives were changed overnight. I'm just going to share one with you. In a matter of minutes, the whole person's life is changed upside down because she was able to evangelize, bring that person to the Lord that quickly. And so do I have time for a story here?
All yours. I'd love to hear it, Father. Go right ahead.
Okay. So Maria Esperanza was in Arizona for a conference. And she was in between in that afternoon before the evening session, she was with some friends and they went to the top of the hill looking over the city. And it's a parking lot. It's a nice vista. People are enjoying the view. She's up there with some of her family members are traveling with her and the sponsors, the people who invited her in, her hosts. And they say, Maurice Brown, can we have a picture? Let's get a picture with you and everybody. So they're taking pictures. Who wants private pictures? Maria, who wants the groups and so forth? Everybody getting the pictures. Well, at the end of the parking lot, there was a pickup truck. And laying in the back of the pickup truck was this man with a shirt off, with tattoos all over his body, bare feet, you know, long hair, and a girl leaning against the truck, and they were talking. They were chatting with each other. Obviously, it was his girlfriend. So Maurice Brown just says to one of her family members, go over and get that guy. You know, we're taking all these pictures. They should be in the picture too. You know, maybe, you know, let's invite them over for a picture. So the guy who's going to go over to ask was a little reticent because he looked pretty tough. This tattooed man looked pretty tough. But anyway, he and his girlfriend walked over, and Maurice Brown greeted him with that love. And as soon as you come into the aura of her spirituality, of her profound union with God, you're touched by it. So she says, through translator, you know, what's your name? And, you know, who's this? My girlfriend, so forth. They have some small talk. And then she says to him, you know, look at that vista out there. She said, it's a beautiful vista. And if you look up to the mountains and into the sky, it makes you think of God. And she starts to introduce God in that way through nature. Then she looks at his chest, right? And she breaks a little branch off of the bush next to her, and she points on his various tattoos, and she said, those tattoos must really have hurt when they were put on your body. And he said in a moment of unexpected vulnerability, mm-hmm. he said, you know, to be honest with you, ma'am, they didn't hurt anything like some of the things I've suffered in my life. And she said, well, today God's going to take all of that away from you. Today God is going to heal you from the inside out. And then she turns to the girl, and she says, this is your girlfriend, right? He said, yes. She said, it's, Maurice Brown says to the man, it's time for you. She cares for you very much. She loves you. It's time for you to get married. And all of a sudden, the guy just starts to break down into tears, having an instantaneous major conversion. And it wasn't very long, a few more minutes. They took photos and you know, these photos exist, mm-hmm. of this man with the tattoos, bare chest, the bad tattoos and everything. And then it was time for Maurice Brown to return, get ready for the conference that night. And this guy, he didn't want to let her go. He was hugging her and saying, don't go. You know, why do you have to go now? And who are you? What is your name? And so forth. Through this kind of incident occurred thousands and thousands of times in the life of Maurice Brown, mm. where her unity with God spread the love of God to the people around her in such dramatic ways that their lives were transformed in moments.
Wow. Well, I know my life was profoundly changed when I met her, and I think most who encounter her feel the same way. Father, let's do this. Let's take a couple calls for you, too. If you want to join us, my guest today is the vice postulator for her cause, Father Tim Byerly, author of a great book, too. If you want to learn about Maria Esperanza and about Betania, he wrote a book. Father, where is your book available, too, before time gets by us?
It's available through betania2.org.
All right, Betania 2.
Go into its second printing now, and we still have some copies from the first set of prints.
All right, sounds great. It's also on Amazon, from what I understand. We'll see. Let's go to Leslie in Tampa, Florida. Leslie, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. This is Leslie. Can you hear me now?
We can, yes. Go right ahead.
Okay. Yeah. I don't know where to begin, but I have been to Betania. And how it came about was, as a little girl, I always wanted to go to Lourdes or Fatima because that's what I heard. I'm in my 70s. Mm-hmm. And then when I heard about Medjugorje, I thought I want to go there. I met a girl who came to a conference. A woman came to a conference in Southern California, I think, to hear Father Hampsch. And I met her, and that was it. Then she goes back to Michigan. She calls me, and she says, Leslie, she says, a lady told me, the Blessed Mother, a lady told me to go on a pilgrimage, and she told me to take you. And I said, what? And she said, yeah. I said, where? Medjugorje? And she says, no, Batania. I never heard of Batania. So I said, where's that? She says, it's in South America. I said, I don't know. I said, I know the countries of South America. I've never heard of Batania. So long story, if I can make it short, she sent me the money. I got on an airplane. I met her in Caracas, and we were on a little pilgrimage that was in a bus, and it was the sweetest thing I've ever done in my life. I've never been in a pilgrimage. Two times we went from the mm-hmm. city of Caracas, which was it was scary yeah. because mm-hmm. the hotels were locked and had guns. This is 25 years ago, and the, maybe it's 23 years ago, maybe it's, anyway, I'll tell you how you can tell what time it was in a minute, but what happened was, we would go to the site, and I went to confession down there, mm-hmm. and I went to got some water. I still have water in a little bottle that I got from Batania. And the second day, I could not go down because I got sick, and I needed to stay close to the restrooms. Okay. So I went to all the vendors, and the ladies there, in my broken English, they said, here's a statue of Rosa Mystica. Mm-hmm. And I'd never heard of Rosa Mystica. She said, pray for Venezuela. Pray for Venezuela. And I could see that horrible things were going to be happening in Venezuela.
Yeah,
and they did.
And that's true. Leslie, I got to hold it right there. Thank you for calling in and sharing your experience. And to that last point, Father, maybe we could pick up on that. I mean, Maria Esperanza, and I got to be honest, sometimes I doubted her. I don't know if you ever did. the things she did were so off the charts. I began to take them almost for granted. I mean, by location, reading souls, some of this prophetic stuff. She talked about the return of Christ, how he'd knock on the door of everyone's heart, etc. But she also foretold, you know, a very grim future for Venezuela. And I'm thinking, this is the fifth largest oil exporter in the country. This is a beautiful country. It's wealthy. There's affluence here. The people are great. What's she talking about, right? And we know what's happened now as it's gone down that path, and we see where Maduro has led the country and the massive exodus from that. Maybe you can share a little bit about that. I mean, you heard Leslie's encounter, but I was the same way. I mean, I regret sometimes not spending more time with her, you know, and I regret some of those moments of doubt. But clearly, in retrospect, you know, when I see her, you know, the way God has used her, it's absolutely humbling. But your thoughts on what we're seeing now in Venezuela and, you know, the encounters that people have when they go to that site.
Well, Maria Esperanza said that the division, the dissolution of society would begin in Venezuela and spread around the world. Yeah. And then following upon that, the reconciliation would begin in Venezuela and spread around the world. So she did foresee that, you know, the times that they're going through right now, but she also foresaw the beautiful reconciliation that is soon, you know, which we're on the cusp of. So, you know, Maria, you said it well when you said earlier that she is a woman of hope. She was honest. She could tell you when mm-hmm. things were problematic, which there was always this caveat that if we appeal to God with all of our hearts, that things, and did what he asked us to do, that things could be, those outcomes could be altered. And in fact, Pope Benedict XVI said a similar thing back in 2000 when the, you know, the third part mm-hmm. of the message of Fatima was revealed.
Yeah.
He said, in the end, it's not bullets and bombs that dictate the outcomes of reality in which we live. It is prayer. Prayer can change things because it's factored into the aspects of divine providence. And that's why we are so hopeful and today is so special. But
yeah.
Regarding, you know, you joked, you said, yeah. you know, sometimes I wondered about Ms. Bronzer because she would say such radical things.
They're
not even on the horizon.
Right.
I was afraid to doubt, I was afraid that that, because she could read it if I did.
I know. That's so funny. My wife always wanted to go to confession before she got around her. She's like, oh. Because she can read souls. I mean, it's amazing.
When I was, when she first started to make her trips up to New Jersey, you know, that's how I met her in the beginning, in the mid-90s.
Yep.
She would go to speak at a group that my friends were always inviting me to that. And I said, once I heard she knew how to read souls, I said, I don't know if I want to go there. You know, if I want to go to confession, it's my call. But if somebody, you know, can see me like a book, I don't know if I like that too much.
Right.
But I'm just teasing. That, you know, we had some extraordinary, I had some extraordinarily private moments with her, as you have. And she gets details that were impossible to predict.
Yeah.
Impossible.
I know.
And yet they unfolded before your eyes, and you almost had to chuckle because they were so precise.
Yeah, there's some other things that took place there, too. And we'll go to the phone. Several people want to get on board. There's a woman who's from Venezuela. I'd love to talk to her, Maureen. I'll get to some of the calls. But before I do, you know, one of the other things that we haven't even discussed yet is the fact that on December 8th, another great Marian feast day, Feast of the Immaculate Conception, there was a Eucharistic miracle that took place.
Yes.
In Venezuela. And again, I just see how this site is just so relevant for our day at a time when, you know, 72%, 73% of Catholics don't believe in the true presence, and how the bishops of our nation now are starting a 3-year campaign to revitalize devotion, to awaken up this, to awaken the slumbering giant known as Catholics in this country. We need to get back to the source and the summit of our faith, and that's our Lord truly present in that sacrament. And when you see a host bleed, and this has been captured on videotape. I included it in the film that I did. When you see a host bleed, it's a humbling, awesome, and mind-boggling event. Why don't you tell everyone what happened with Father Otios Aristizabal when that host bled on him?
Well, on that particular date, that year you spoke of, Father Uri was in the sanctuary in Betania, which is, you know, it's an open area in front of the mountain where Our Lady appeared. And they structured a kind of a roof on pillars. It's like an open air church, if you will. And they have a marble sanctuary at the front, elevated, where Mass was offered. So Father Odie, who was the chaplain at that time for Betania, was offering Mass. And as he was celebrating Mass, and at the moment of the at the Fractio Panis, when he broke the host, just before the reception of communion, it started to bleed. So he placed it on the paten without consuming it. He just consumed the piece that was not bloody. It started to ooze very gently. And they were he was astonished, and then he showed the people what happened. Bishop Pio Bello was the bishop at the time who also was the one who approved the apparitions of Maria Speranza, was Maria Speranza's spirit director. He had the host, you know, properly safeguarded and had it examined by top forensics investigators in Caracas and Los Teques and other places. And they discovered that it was human blood on this host. And so there was no other conclusion to draw except that it was a miraculous occurrence. That host today, you could see it when you go, if you make pilgrimage to Betania. It's a couple hour drive from Betania in the Diocese of Los Teques in a convent, a special monstrance where you can approach it and venerate the miraculous host. Our Lord does that for us, you know, because when people have weak faith, weak Eucharistic faith, time and again through church history, He has effected these miracles to strengthen us in our weakness. Because, you know, we sometimes only see with our eyes and not with the heart of a faithful person.
That's so true. And sometimes it's an event like that will really rekindle in the heart the desire to recognize that Christ is truly present in the Eucharist and get back to that sacrament. I've got to take a short pause, Father. Stay with me, okay? When we come back, we'll talk more. We'll grab a few of your calls. I'm grateful for your patience. I know many people are waiting to talk with you. We're taking a look at March 25th, 1984. It's a day of a church-approved apparition, same day that John Paul consecrated Russia to the Immaculate Heart. And, of course, today, March 25th, 2022, Pope Francis did the same thing. A lot of grace flows on this day, looking at the big picture. And we'll talk with you when we return.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the relevant radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
Get caught up on that conversation you missed by going to the Relevant Radio archives. Just select The Drew Mariani Show.
Well, it's great to be with you today. I'm so grateful to be able to spend my afternoon with you. I really mean that. And it's been a delight to be on the air today. I'm rounding out hour five, believe it or not. It feels like 5 minutes, though. Earlier this afternoon, I co-anchored along with our Chief Executive Officer, Father Frank Hoffman, the historic, and that's what I'm calling it, historic and really, I think, world-changing consecration of Russia, Ukraine, and the world to the Immaculate Heart. Sister Lucia de Santos had said that, and she said this in 1985, after John Paul consecrated on March 25th, 1984, the world, that it was accepted by heaven. It wasn't done exactly as was requested, but it was accepted. And we saw what happened, right? We know how the Iron Curtain collapsed, and soon after the dissolution of the Soviet Empire, as we know it, or at least the USSR. But grace needs to be responded to. And today, of course, Pope Francis, seeing the rising threat of war, I believe, has responded to the invitation of the bishops of the Ukraine and the people there, and has consecrated Russia, Ukraine, and the world to the Immaculate Heart. I believe you're going to see the fruit of this. In fact, I'm confident. I'm at peace. I have no fear about what's unfolding in the world, and I don't want you to have that either. That was the message of an incredible mystic I once met, Maria Esperanza. She saw grave times coming for the future of humanity. She gave us a simple solution: prayer. Prayer, especially of the rosary. Devotion to the Eucharist. Return to God. We need to be in that relationship of him, with him. She said, you know, the Lord's going to knock on the door of everyone's heart. I mean, you have to be receptive to our Lord. And I have asked today Father Tim Byerly, who's the vice postulator for the cause of her canonization, for her beatification, to join me. He authored a great book. And if you want to learn much more about Maria Esperanza, go to this website. It's Betania, I think it's the number two, .com. And I hope I get that right, Father. Father, did I get that right? Is it number two or numeral two? I never get it right.
It's number two.
Number two. All right, good.
Yeah.
So, betania2.com, and we'll get your book right there. Hey, we only have a few moments left. Let's jump into a couple quick phone calls for you, and then maybe I can get some final thoughts for you. There's a lot we didn't talk about. We didn't talk about all the healings that have taken place, physicians, the fact that Our Lady appears visibly, you know, so much of the stuff that has transpired. But let's say hello first to Sonia. She's listening in Minnesota. Sonia, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Drew. I went to Betania in 1997, and one of the experiences that I had while I was there was I got to experience holy water coming from the sky. And I know that was something that was very unusual. And it happened on the eve of the Annunciation. And while we were there at night under the skies, mm-hmm. In Venezuela, it's near the equator, it hardly rains, and the average temperature is about 75 degrees year round. And it was like the priest who, during Easter, spreads the holy water over the congregation. And it was coming from the sky to the point where people were just chasing it.
Well,
it would just sprinkle here and then over there.
Did you get a healing as a result of it? Sonia, did you get healed?
You know, I was just flabbergasted. I was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I'm experiencing this. And so I just started taking pictures of this. And then the next day, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. No, I only have a few moments, so I don't mean to rush you.
Sure. Okay. Then the next day, I got to experience during the daytime when we had a cinematographer, so we were able to capture it on video as well.
I got to tell you, I've been there probably 13 times. I've never heard of that phenomena, never experienced that. But you know, God can manifest in any way He wants and communicate with us. Father, I don't know if you've ever heard of anything like that. I know there's been other phenomena, the spring of water that has welled up, a lot of healings that have come from that, and of course, the Virgin being visible to many.
there are so many, Drew, so many supernatural manifestations in that location. It's a center point of divine grace. There's a story of one young man who he was in Desert Storm and he lost a couple buddies. He was traumatized. And when he came back, he couldn't get his life together. He was really, he was falling to pieces. So he was down there on pilgrimage, but he was disconnected and he couldn't really get into the prayer. And, you know, he was just really hurting as badly as you could imagine coming back from war. And there's that cascade of water that comes down through the grotto right in front of the statue of Our Lady. Mm-hmm. And at that particular time, that was flowing pretty steadily and pretty substantially. And he was granted permission to go in to where that water was flowing. And because of his, you know, his situation, and he allowed the water to pour over the back of his neck. He was wearing a t-shirt and just poured over the back of his neck. And he said that he felt these entities coming up his spine and out of his neck and departing from him. Multiple entities,
wow.
Spiritual entities.
Wow.
And when it was all said and done, he felt immense peace and had the interior healing from the trauma that you might take years of psychotherapy if you even get there.
Wow.
So yeah, miracle after miracle, Drew, grace after grace, phenomenon of extraordinary proportions that ordinary folks, you know, just the ordinary lay persons were able to because Our Lady was there for everybody.
Yeah.
She is there for everybody.
This
call will go. This groundswell, yeah. I mean, there's so many people who could call in on your show and speak about what happened there and, you know, how Maria Esperanza impacted them. This grassroots, what shall we say, testimony, this grassroots expression of the faithful's devotion to Maria Esperanza, appreciation of her holiness, the fame, we call it the fame of sanctity and the fame of intercession. That's going to rise up, and this cause cannot be stopped.
Yep.
It's going to go forward, and people are going to be blessed immensely through the appreciation of the healing of the family.
Yep.
And fraternal reconciliation.
Yeah, and I'll give you just two personal testimonies on my behalf. One of the greatest miracles I witnessed in Batania was the healing of my father. My father, as I've shared very openly on the air with those who listen, he struggled with alcoholism. He struggled with addiction to alcohol. He was never a violent man, a kind man, loved God very much, but it was something that he did battle with. And we went down to Venezuela together. Remember, we stayed in that Caracas Hilton, and that night he emptied his wet bar. The next day, Jesus was supposed to appear along with Our Lady. It had been prophesied, and we waited all day and all night, and nothing happened. And I remember sleeping in the open air that night. Next morning, he woke up, and just like that story, he said it was almost like something left, like a weight off his shoulders. His desire to drink disappeared, and the next 15 years of his life, he never touched another drop. He was miraculously healed of something that people grapple with their entire life. I also had a healing of my eye when I was down there from that holy water in the spring. But look, the miracles are great. What they do is they all point us back to God and the fact that he is above the laws of nature. He created them. He can suspend them. And with him, all things are possible. Father, if people want to invoke Maria Esperanza or learn more, what's the best way to do that? And how can they report their miracles for the calls?
Well, they could go to www.batania.org, where they could first of all find the prayer card, the beatification prayer card, which includes a place to place your to put your intention, and then should they receive any special graces, they can go to that website, or they can contact me, and they can go to you and you can send them to me.
All right, sounds great. Hey, Father, thank you very much for your time. My apologies to everyone on hold. Let's celebrate. It is a grace-filled day. Make sure you pray that rosary. Till we talk again, remember God loves you, and so do I. Have a great week.